Chapter 16 of Genesis. God is good. Now Sarai in these days it was called, she was called. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant. This maidservant came, I suppose, from when Abram went to Egypt and Pharaoh gave him possessions. Her name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Then Sarai said to Abram, "What wrong be upon you? My wrong be upon you. I gave my wife, my maid, into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." When Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from? Where are you going?" She said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for the multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child. You shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of his brethren." Then she called the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she says, "I have also here seen him who sees me." I'll stop there. Praise God that God does see, particularly when we are distressed and we're afflicted. It's a passage that we may struggle to understand, but it was common in the days of Abraham for men who were patriarchal to not only have a wife but have servants and mistresses, and sometimes they would take them to be concubines and they would sleep with them and conceive children. Those children would become servants. But this was never what God had promised Abram. God had promised Abram that he would bless him and make him a nation, and he would do it through Abram's faith. That's how every blessing comes, by believing the promise God has made to us. God gives us a promise. When we believe the promise, the blessing manifests. And God had given Abram a special promise that he would conceive through Sarai. The trouble was she was barren and postmenopausal. God still did it anyway. There's nothing God cannot do. He is a God of the impossible. But at this stage, the Bible is a very real book. And you don't just arrive as a person of strong faith. Your faith is built. And the people in the Bible, this is why it's a wonderful book, they're never painted as idealistic heroes. They're very real. And this is a place where God's people, particularly Abram, failed spectacularly, really. Whoever would think it's a good idea to sleep with another woman, with your wife in the same house? I've got three daughters. When boys fight, they sort of go bang and it's over. But when women fight, it just goes on. It's like on and on and on. It just is something. You got a mess in your house when women fight, I want to tell you. But here's a place where Abram, he comes. And you know, the kingdom of God is a place of order. It's a place of order. It's always a place of order. God, Jesus Christ is God's King, and we are under him. We bow the knee when we become a Christian. We become submitted to him. We become subjected to him. And in this passage, this problem happens. Sarai comes up with the idea. But guess what? In the passage, the whole narrative between Abram and God and the birth of Isaac, God never speaks to Sarai directly about the child. Isaac speaks to Abram about the child. So God has spoken to Abram that he's going to bless them through Sarai. And it's not happening. And God doesn't tell you when he's going to fulfill his promise. You've got to persevere. And there is often a time, a great testing time. You know where the testing time is? This is where God is testing you and he's watching you. It's the time between promise and fulfillment. That can be a long time, but it's a time of testing. And as Christ is our head, the Bible says that God has created order in the household. And as Christ is head of the church and head of man, so man is head of the woman. That's not Tarzan and Jane. That is, it's about headship. It's not about equality or leadership. It's about headship. The man is supposed to be the one who's the covering, who leads in love, who is connected most strongly to God, who spends most time in prayer and the presence of God, and watches spiritually over his household. That is the role of the man, to be the spiritual head of his home. Most prayerful, supposed to be the man. And trouble happens in homes. Often, you know, people blame Eve for the fall. She ate the fruit. But where was Adam? He was right there. And when the serpent said, "It's a good idea," what should Adam have done? He should have stepped in and said, "No, it's not a good idea." But he was passive. He was probably watching the football or doing something at work. Oh, that doesn't happen here. And then the enemy got in. And when Sarah comes and says, "This is a good time. It's a good idea. What a great plan. You sleep with my maid." Abram should have said, "No, I won't. I love you. I want to be faithful to you, and God will do it. God will perform and perfect his word." That's what he should have said. But he didn't. He didn't do that. And sin came in. And this is such a picture of sin, because when sin first tempts you, when you first sin, it promises, you know, to bless you. It sort of starts out okay, but then there's consequences down the track. You know, you start drinking that stuff or smoking that stuff, and at first it feels okay, but down the track there's always, and it's like a train with lights, it's coming, there are consequences and they cannot be avoided. And Abraham, when he slept with Hagar, at first it would have seemed okay. But then a little while down the track, the consequences come. And first the consequences are Hagar, who was perfectly okay with Sarah before, when she conceived, and in those days, if you were barren, it was considered to be cursed. So when she conceived, she thought she was now better than Sarah. And she despised her because she was barren. So there, Abram is his happy home, just got blown to pieces by sin. And then Sarah is despised. Suddenly she's feeling condemned and cursed. She's thinking, "This is all happening because I'm under a curse." And suddenly her husband's sleeping with another woman. That's the fruit of sin. And then Sarah comes in, and in verse 5, she says, "My wrong be upon you." She's basically coming and saying, listen to me. My wrong is actually not my wrong. Abram, it's upon you because you should have known better. You shouldn't have gone along with this. You're the head. And you know what? She's right. She's right. Abram is wrong. And then even when she comes and says, the wrong's upon you, he makes it even more wrong by being weak. He should have then said, yeah, I've done the wrong thing. Let's fix it right now. What are we going to do for this woman who we have wronged, this servant? Let's give her some money because I'm wealthy. Maybe we can provide her with a husband and put her over there and look after her. But he doesn't. He goes like, well, it's in your hands. Like a weak leader, he says, what does he say exactly in the words? He said, my wrong be upon you. And Abram said, indeed, your maid is in your hands. Do to her as you please. My goodness. The poor Egyptian woman, do to her as you please. And so it says, and Sarah dwelt harshly. Sarah dealt harshly with Hagar. And so there is Abram's happy home has suddenly become a complete mess. It's a mess. It's a mess because it's always a mess when the man doesn't take up his role as the spiritual head. It's always a mess when we agree with a plan that is not God's. It always becomes a mess when we sin and we let it go on and we don't deal with it. It's always a mess. Sin always brings a mess. Lack of order in a home always brings a mess. And so here's a place where because of lack of headship, lack of leadership in the home, lack of order in the home, and sin in the home which was in order, which was doing well, all of a sudden becomes a complete mess. And this woman, Hagar, begins to run. And she says, I'm out of here because you're dealing too harshly with me. And she heads down the road, doesn't tell us what sort of abuse it is, just says she's been dealt with harshly. And she runs into the desert. And it's a wonderful thing that for everyone who's forsaken and mistreated and abused, God has a special place for you. God has a special place, particularly for women who are misused, powerless people who are mistreated. And this woman is a slave and she has no power, she is powerless and she is mistreated, and God has a special, Bible says that God saw her. If you're in that place now, God, I want you to say there is a God who loves you and he sees everything about your problem. And he watches over you and he wants to help you. And he comes to Hagar and he sees the plight of the abuse. No one will do right by her. No one is doing right by her. But I want to tell you, God will do right by you. If you're in that place, we have a God who will do right by you. And I just love this. He calls her name. He knows you by name. He formed you and you're special. There's only one of you. He calls her Hagar, Sarah's maid. Where have you come from and where are you going? And Sarah just says, I'm fleeing. And she's on the way to a place called Shur. She says, I'm out of here. And I'm heading down the road, down the desert. And I'm going to Shur. And God says, angel of the Lord. I believe the angel of the Lord is the pre-incarnate Jesus. Whenever you see that. So that's what I believe. And he said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord says, I will multiply your descendants. And basically, verse 10 to 12 is just God describing that's the blessing that is about to come upon her. He's saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your socks off. great nation's going to come from your this the person that you're carrying. But I want to tell you, he said to her, this place that is a mess, this home that has become a complete mess, that's completely out of order, this place where you feel harshly treated, he said, return there and submit yourself under Sarah. Return and submit. Do you think she wanted to hear that? But let me tell you, there is great power. There is great power in doing what God tells you to do when you really, your flesh really doesn't want to do it. I want to tell you, there is such power in obedience where God is telling you to do something and you do the right thing when it's very, very hard. When you do the right thing by God when it's very, very hard, you're walking into a place always of blessing. I often say, I don't want to talk and exaggerate it, but I often say to people, there's nothing I desire. God has blessed me. I have got a beautiful, wonderful wife who's tailor-made for me. I've got three beautiful children. I've got a job that I love. I get to preach this massive, this wonderful gospel to crowds of thousands. I am so blessed. There's nothing that I lack. There's nothing, and it just gets better, better every year. But I want to share something to you. One of the reasons I believe that God has done this, when I was a young man, I was a football player. And all I wanted to do was play football. From the age of 12, I had no other goal. I had no other dream. All I wanted to do was play football. And as soon as I got out of school, I went straight over to England twice. And I got myself an apprenticeship and I got myself a traineeship with professional football clubs. But in those days, I won't say when. It's the early 80s. It's a long time ago. And life was not what it is today. In this country, nobody believed you could make a living out of sport. Everyone was just amateur or semi-professional in those days. And my father thought I was a loafer. He thought I was like one of these guys who just wanted to surf his whole life. I just was living a dream and I was irresponsible. And there came a time when I came back. I had an injury and I came back to Australia. And he said to me, you need to join the army. You need to join the army. And I've arranged for an interview to you to go to this military thing called Portsea. It's like Duntroon. And you're going to be an officer. I want to tell you, the person that I think is most unsuited to be a military officer in the whole history of the world is myself. And I was spectacularly unsuccessful. But I went and I joined. I went because he was my father. I submitted myself, and for 3 years I think I walked around with a broken heart because all what I thought were dreams were broken, but God had a better dream. God had a better plan for me. But sometimes God will call us to do things that are very, very hard. But there's great blessing down the track. God said to Sarah, God said to Hagar, he said, you've got to go back. Why did she have to go back? I tell you why you've got to go back. She said, you've got to go back and you submit. There is a place. There is a place where God is going to bless you. There is a place where God is going to plant you. And he said, this is the place. It's a place where I'm going to provide through and I'm going to protect from. There is a place I'm going to plant you in. And you can't just go anywhere you want. You've got to be in that place to receive his blessing. There is a place. Sometimes people don't understand that. That's why wherever God leads you to a church, you've got to plant yourself. You plant yourself where the Holy Spirit leads you, but you plant yourself because unless you're planted, you won't stay in that place where God has designed for you to be blessed. So she came And she turned around. When every part of her just said, keep going down the road to Shur, she turned around and she went back to a place which was a mess. Absolute mess. And that was the place she was blessed. In this culture, one, we think we've always got to be happy. You don't always have to be happy to be blessed. God isn't going to put you in a place where you're always happy. God can bless you in your mess. My home is often, it's a mess sometimes. But I'm blessed there. You don't have to be happy. You don't need to be happy. What you need is the blessing of God. There is a difference between the blessing of God and human happiness. There is a great difference. When God blesses a man, I want to tell you, we often say, oh, we're blessed. When God really blesses you, there's no lack. When God looks at a man or a woman and says, I'm going to bless you, I want to tell you, your whole life changes. It doesn't mean everything's easy, but there's a richness to it. There's a richness to it. There's a peace to it. There's a joy to it that's abiding that nobody else that's not in Christ can have. It is not just a life you live. It is an abundant life. It's the very same life that Christ had. You need to be blessed. You don't need to be happy. And blessing in the scriptures says it only ever comes from a place of obedience and submission. She not only had to turn around and obey, she had to submit. Now listen, wives, the Bible says, wives, submit to your husband. It said, submit to the authorities that God has established in this world, your government. It says, children, submit to your parents. And all these things, there's two ways. It says, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husband. Children, honor your parents. Parents, do not frustrate your children. So there's two ways. But sometimes it's not perfect. Your husband may not be loving you perfectly. It still doesn't mean you don't submit. It still doesn't mean you don't submit. It says, even submit to your pastors, your leaders. This is what submit was. God said to her, return and submit. Submit just means to place yourself under somebody. And it doesn't mean you place yourself under them because they're always perfect. It doesn't mean to place yourself under because they're always right. It just says you place yourself under them. For 14 years, she went back to that home. She just placed herself under where God had placed her and put herself under the authority that God had established for her. I've told this story many times before. I once had a pastor I was under. Cut a long story short, I thought he was doing the wrong thing. Someone said to me, we're going to sort him out. I was the associate pastor. He was the head pastor. And as I was on the way to sort him out and correct him, God said to me, I didn't tell you to correct him. I told you to submit to him. I wouldn't submit it to him. See, Jesus, it says that Jesus actually taught in the temple when he was 12 years old with such authority, and people had never heard teaching like that. And it was just amazing. People just amazed. They heard him and they were astounded. I said, we've never heard teaching like this. He was a boy, 12 years old. And Jesus, you know, you thought he would have said, this is my time, I'm here. I'm arrived, the doors have opened, the invitations have come. But you know what he did? It says for the next 15 years, Jesus went home and he just submitted himself to his parents. He learned to have the spirit of sonship. And when he had the character of a son who is submitted to their father, their spiritual father, their earthly father, they know how to stay under the authority God has put them and not rebel. When they know how to stay under that place, when he'd learned submission, God then brought him forth and anointed him with power. It's not until we understand submission that we'll be anointed with power. I want to tell you, there's nothing truer. Until you understand submission, we won't be anointed with the power of God. It's always in God's kingdom about order. And so she was told to go back, place yourself under the authority that I've established. You know, James 4 says this about submission. It says this. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I want to tell you something. Submit to God is the same as submitting to the authorities that God has established. The things that God has told you to submit to, the Word of God. And he said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, this is so important we understand. When we're in order and we are submitted to the things that God tells us to submit to, we're in the place then to be powerful in the Spirit and to exercise the authority that God wants to give us. He wants to give us authority to be able to kick the devil out of your home, to be able to tell the devil to go and he will go. Amen? But I want to tell you, you can be an intercessor and you can shout at the devil all day long. But if you're not submitted to your husband, the devil will laugh at you. If you're not submitted to the things that God tells you to submit to, if you're not really under them, you'll have no victory. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submission to what God has established. It's not only it's where your authority comes from, it's actually where your protection is too. When you are submitted to what God says to submit to, there's a covering, there's a protection over your life, there's a place where God wants you to live in a place where the devil cannot touch you. He can't touch you. He may come near, but he can't destroy you. It's because there's a covering over your life, there's an anointing over your life which follows you, and that comes through your submission. It comes through yielding to what God tells you to yield to and place yourself under. Now, this doesn't mean that you go and stay with a husband that may be violent with you. That's a whole different thing. That's a whole different ballgame. But if your husband has a hard day at work and he speaks to you maybe sharply, that doesn't mean you can come out from under your submission. God says, your submission is your covering. Your submission is the path to anointing. Submission is the key to authority in the spirit realm. And here's the thing. Hagar had a choice. She could keep walking down that path, and it was doing whatever she wanted to do. She could make her own choice and keep walking down that path. And she could keep going to Shur. God said to her, return and submit. She could keep walking down that path. I want to tell you, that path is a path to destruction. It's always a path to destruction. Or she could turn around and hear the voice of God and return and place herself back under the authority of Sarah, be in the place where God had called her to be under what God called her to be under, and coming into that place was the place that she would be blessed. You don't have to be happy to be blessed. Your life doesn't have to be perfect in your home to be blessed. You can have stuff that's going on in your family that people may consider a mess, but you can still be blessed by remaining where God wants you to remain, by remaining under what God tells you to be under. I feel like somebody here today, and you're sort of going somewhere on a path, and God is actually telling you, you need to turn around. He wants to bless you. He loves you. He loves you, but you need to turn around. You need to come back. It doesn't have to be perfect. Maybe there's something going on with your job. Maybe there's something going on with your family. Maybe there's something going on with your father or whatever. I don't know. But somebody, God is saying, you just stay in that place where I put you. And not only is it a place where I'm going to provide for you, not only is it a place where I'm going to protect you, but obedience is how God blesses you. And we are destined to be a people who are so blessed, that people say, you got a peace that I don't know how to get. How do you get it? You got a joy that's always with you. I don't know how to get it. That you seem to have a provision over your life that I don't have. I don't know how to get it. How do you get it? You say, you come to Jesus Christ, God's King, and you submit to Him. You yield to Him. All your life, you obey Him. You walk with Him, even when it's hard. Even when it's hard. You don't have to be happy. You want to be blessed. You want to be blessed. And the blessing comes through being where? In the will. You know, Jesus, He came. Not only did He submit Himself to His parents, this is His heart, He submitted Himself to His parents. Then when He came forward, His ministry is about to begin. He comes to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, and He says, I want to be baptized you. John the Baptist says, you're kidding. I know who you are. You're the Son of God. You're the Savior of the world. You're God's Messiah. And you're going to come to be baptized by me? Why? Because until the Spirit of God came upon Jesus, God was using John, and He said, I want to be under you. You're God's man. You're God's man. You're the one God's using. I want to be under you. Then in Gethsemane, He did not want to go to that cross. In His flesh, He struggled and struggled and struggled. And what did He pray? He said, my flesh doesn't want to go this way. My flesh doesn't want to go that way to the cross. But after He prayed, He said, even though my flesh don't want to go there, yet not my will be done, but your will be done. Your will. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be where you want me to be. And He went right through death, right through everything the enemy tried to do, and into historic eternal victory. Church, God wants to bless you. He wants to make you a spectacular of His blessing. I want to say very, very simply, there's only one way to trust and obey. Wives, God wants to bless you. You need to submit to your husband. Husband, you need to keep your house in order. The reason wives sometimes so much struggle to honor their husbands is that husbands are spiritual wimps. If your wife is getting up and praying before you do in the morning, if she's praying more than you do, if she's in the Word of God more than you do, you're not doing your job. You're not the head. You're kidding yourself. You need to be the head spiritually of your home. The most important thing is spiritually what goes on in your home. You need to take up your headship. Otherwise, you'll have a frustrated wife. You'll invite the spirit of Jezebel into your home. You need to take up your headship. It doesn't have to be perfect for you to be submitted. It can be a mess. But be in the order of God. Keep your home in the order of God. Be in the place where God wants you to be. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be so blessed. She returned. You know what God did when she returned? He changed it all. Changed the environment. There's no mention of trouble again. And it says in the end, when Ishmael did go, Abram was heartbroken because he loved that boy. Like his own. That boy grew up in it was a mess anymore. He grew up in a place of love, and that boy was nurtured. God changed it all through the power of obedience and submission. That's what God does. Is your family a mess? It's not the end of the world. Does your marriage feel like it's a bit of a mess? It's not the end of the world. Are your kids feeling like they're in a bit of a mess? It's not the end of the world. Here's the question. Are you where God wants you? Are you in the position that God wants you to be? Because if you are, you're still going to be blessed in your mess. It doesn't have to be perfect for you to be blessed. It doesn't have to be perfect for God to bless you. He's going to bring you through. Just what he says to you. Where are you going? Where are you going? You're going to head down the way your flesh wants to head, or you're going to yield? Say, God, I'm your servant. Keep me in order. Keep me in a place of obedience. Then I'll be blessed. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You're a God of order. I thank you, Lord. Father, you see those who are abused. You see those who are mistreated. You see those who are... Lord, Hagar had no earthly hope. You see us in that place, Lord. And you call us by name. You call us by name. You call us to redirect us. You call us to bring us back to a place of blessing and to not go down the path of destruction. Father, I thank you, you're a God who speaks, that you spoke to Hagar and you told her where to return, where to place herself, because that was the season where her provision and her blessing was going to come out of Abram's home. Father, I ask, Lord, for each and every one of us here, each and every one of us here. Lord, you will place us. You'll plant us. Lord, you'll lead us to the place where, Lord, your provision is, that your protection is. Father, I thank you, Lord, when we yield, when we submit to you, when we obey you, when we honor you. You cover our lives, Lord. You protect our lives. You bless our lives. You anoint our lives, Lord. Father, through the power of submission and obedience. Father, I thank you, Lord, there is a generation that you're rising up with the spirit of sonship who you're going to anoint like never before, because they've been in that place, Lord, where their flesh wants to go one way. But when you speak to them, Lord, they said, your will be done. Father, I thank you there's an anointing coming that is multiplied of what we've ever known before, because, Lord, that spirit is the spirit of sonship. It rests upon those who say, yet not my will, but your will be done. Father, I thank you. I lift up every person here today, Father, who may feel that their home is a mess. Father, I speak encouragement into those homes today. I decree, Lord, that what is a mess will be blessed in Jesus' name. I decree, Lord, that marriages that feel like a mess, I decree today, I declare them blessed in Jesus' name. Father, families and children that may feel like a mess, I decree today that they are blessed through the power of Jesus, in Jesus' name, through the power of obedience, Lord. What is a mess? By the power of obedience, Lord, I decree it to be blessed today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we thank you for that blessing. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, there is every spiritual blessing for your children through Jesus Christ. Father, keep us in that place. Keep us in that place of sensitivity. Father, when we are tempted to go to sure, Father, I ask for my life. I ask for my life. If I'm ever on the way to Shur, Lord, that you would arrest me and send me and return me to the place which is your will for my life. Father, we want to live, we want to breathe, and we want to be like your Son who said, yet not my will, but thy will be done. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you for what you're doing today. We thank you for what you're doing in this generation. And I thank you for the anointing that is coming to your church, to your yielded, to your submitted, to your ordered church in this generation. We give you praise that you're speaking to us today about order, that you're a God of order, that you bless through order, that you anoint through order, that you protect through order. Keep your church, Lord. perfect order. Keep our homes in perfect order. Keep our families in perfect order. Bring what is out of order into order, even today, Lord. For your kingdom and glory's sake, in Jesus' name. All the people said,
amen.
Let's praise Him, church. Let's praise Him, what He's doing.